Good afternoon, and welcome to the 2013 Retail Marketing Virtual Conference and Expo. I'm Joe Keenan, Managing Editor of Retail Online Integration. I'm pleased to welcome you to this session, Showrooming, Your Secret Weapon for In-Store Sales. This session is being sponsored by Symantec, a provider of virtual security solutions for small, medium, or enterprise businesses. Before we get started, let me review some technical pointers. First, if you have any technical issues, troubleshoot by clicking on the widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the question and answer box. You can also use the question and answer box to submit your questions to today's panelists. We'll be addressing select questions later on, but you can send them in at any time. Please make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can utilize all of the features on this console. Check out the Tips for Attendees widget if you'd like to learn more about the console you're viewing on today. Finally, if you'd like to view this session again later, don't forget that we'll be archiving the entire show today. We'll have the on-demand environment up and running for 3 months, beginning on Monday, July 22nd. Watch your inbox for more details. Joining me today to offer his insights on the growing consumer trend of showrooming and the impact it's having on cross-channel retailers is Richard Sexton, the founder and CEO of Carolina Rustica, a retailer of high-end furniture and decor. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Richard Sexton to get us started.
Great. Thank you very much, Joe. And once again, I'd like to thank everybody for attending. Showrooming, your secret weapon for in-store sales. You can see there we've got a shot of our retail gallery. Number one, to show the kind of products we sell, which is high-end furniture, home accessories, furnishings, lighting, et cetera. Also to emphasize that our roots really are initially in brick and mortar, and we've evolved into a multi-channel or omni-channel retailer as the years have gone by. But that brick and mortar is kind of our historical roots. So just a little bit of background on Carolina Rustica. Again, we were founded in 2000. I started the company about 13 years ago, and we grew kind of organically over the years to an IR Top 1000 company featuring lighting, furniture, and accessories. As I mentioned, we are kind of originated as a brick and mortar operation to have over 20,000 square feet of showroom space between three galleries. And kind of a watershed event last year, we became part of the Mattress USA family. That's been a very good marriage for both of us. We're proud to be part of them. Mattress USA operates U.S. Mattress, Furniture Crate, Carolina Rustica, and some other websites. I have been an independent retailer for about 17 years. That's almost pre-internet, and I still have all my hair. So it has been a very long road, but very exciting too, and full of change. And I do enjoy sharing my experience over the years at various conferences and speaking opportunities. So, with that being said, let's get right into the meat and potatoes of showrooming. Showrooming is really a natural evolution of device usage. We all have our smartphones and iPads and devices with us almost all the time, using them for communications, entertainment, organizing, and shopping. So it is a natural evolution. It's not something that just kind of popped on the scene and someone said, hey, let's start showrooming. It's just price comparison, that's all. It's what we've always done when shopping, when looking at a retailer. It's just we're using our device in-store to price shop competitors. So we might walk into a Target and scan a barcode or a QA or some kind of code, or just type in the SKU number or the manufacturer specifications to pull up comparison information on that product, whether we're searching on Google or Bing or whether using a price comp application or our own personal research. But all we're doing is comparing prices in-store with our device. From Google's own research, 79% of smartphone owners are smartphone shoppers, and an astounding 84% of them actually use the phones in-store. of those smartphone owners. So it is a huge percentage of people who use their phones in store. We've all done it. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just, you know, like I said, it's a natural outgrowth of our behavior as consumers. Spend an average of 15 minutes on their phone in your store. So that's a long time compared to how long people actually in the store. A huge percentage is spent actually using the smartphone to get information. And 82% of smartphone shoppers actually start with a search engine as opposed to a price comparison or some other kind of app. They actually just start with a search engine. They also use other store websites, brand websites, and price comparison applications. And then amazingly, 1 in 3 use their phones in-store for in-store help instead of asking a sales associate. So there's a real advantage to be gained there if you can capitalize on it, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. The other side of showrooming is web rooming, which is simply using your device or your PC or your laptop at home, doing research, and then going to the store to make your final evaluation and purchase. So they're two sides of the same coin, web rooming and showrooming. And again, it's just natural consumer behavior that you would see. So web rooming is really, though, it's a huge opportunity to provide as much information online as you can to drive that customer into the physical store and to make that their final destination. So you have more control over the consumer experience in web roaming because they are on your site, they're looking at the information, and you are trying to incentivize them to go into your store. 73% of shoppers have admitted, I don't know if there's really anything to admit to, but 73% of shoppers have admitted to showrooming in the past 6 months, but of course even more have engaged in web rooming, which is, again, no different than just browsing other sites to compare prices, finding the site for a store that's local to you, and then going in and making that purchase. However, there's a huge opportunity to both web rooming and showrooming in that mobile shoppers spend 25 to 50% more in-store than people who just occasionally or don't ever use some kind of device to help with their shopping. That's based on Google's own research. Not only that, but they are more likely to convert, 14% more likely to convert. So they are more likely to buy, and when they buy, they're spending more because they are educated consumers and they have more confidence in that purchase. So there is a big opportunity. The one takeaway that we should have today is that web rooming and show rooming are opportunities. They're not something to be avoided or to fight because that fight's already over, but they are opportunities. In fact, they are part of a larger dynamic at play, which is omni-channel retailing, what we used to call multi-channel retailing, but now it's omni. And that really means that it's a cohesive shopping experience across all devices and all channels, reinforcing your brand and unique value proposition. We say omni-channel retailing is device agnostic, right, meaning the device, whether it's an iPad or smartphone or phablet or tablet or whatever, it doesn't matter. That it's the same experience across all devices. And one benchmark is that it lets customers pick back up where they left off. A good example of this would be Netflix. If you watch Netflix on your big screen TV, you can go to your iPad and pick up where you left off on that particular movie. It's a different experience, but you pick up where you left off. And when you go to your smartphone, you can do the same thing. It's true omni-channel. The other thing is that it's aligning that customer experience across all channels, so not just devices but channels. In other words, if they're using a catalog, they might look at a catalog, see a product, go online, find that product, and say, oh, you know, I really want to try a shirt on when I get to the store. I don't want to just buy it online. It might fit funny. They go into the store and have that same experience, the same expectations that they have, are met in a similar way in the brick-and-mortar environment. Because the bottom line is that the customers, they don't care about the channel. They don't care about the device. They just want to have that problem that they're addressing solved. They want to have the same experience, the same expectation fulfilled. They're not making that distinction. It's we're the ones who are making that distinction. We need to make sure that we are up to the task on each device and each channel. So device usage is it's omni-channel for a lot of different activities, not just shopping and retail. Communication, entertainment, I gave the Netflix example, and shopping, of course. So that shopping behavior is manifested in showrooming and webrooming, which is price comparison by any other name. And our response is responsive design, which I'll get to in a minute, and an acronym I came up with, MORE, M-O-R-E. I'll explain that in a minute as well. But it's the showrooming, webrooming behavior is prevalent across all verticals. It's not particular to one industry. But the response, how we react to that, is a couple different ways. So MORE is a very kind of complicated acronym I came up with, Multi-Directional Omnichannel Retail Evolution. What that mouthful means is basically, we really are breaking down the barriers between pure play e-tailers and retailers. Amazon may be a notable exception, but there are lots of e-tailers who are moving across channels into brick and mortar, recognizing the advantages that that conveys. These are two recent examples I just came up with in the last 2 weeks. Sigma Beauty, which is an online retailer of beauty products, opened a store in Mall of America, and Warby Parker, which is a little better known, opened up a store in Manhattan. These are two very successful, like I said, pure play e-tailers who have migrated cross channels into brick and mortar, recognizing that showrooming and webrooming are some of the dynamics that actually drive their business. The other response that we have is responsive design, which basically means your web presence looks the same regardless of which device you're on. So we're moving away from talking about mobile sites into responsive design sites. And again, this is part of the larger dynamic of omni-channel retailing, where whether you're on a smartphone or an iPad or tablet or PC, your website is going to appear the same, just scale differently, but it will appear the same on each device. So again, it's driving home the need for consistency and uniformity. So I came up with a couple of different steps for using showrooming as a tactical advantage. The first one is that use your mobile site to incrementally drive in-store sales by using on-site coupons, special promotions, and discounts that might only appear on your mobile site. Now, this would assume that you don't have a responsive design site where it's going to appear the same regardless. We're still in the process of making that transition from a mobile site to a responsive design site. A lot of other people are too, because it's a big step with a lot of technical complications. But in any case, set up some mobile-only coupons, and so while people are browsing your site in-store looking for information, they'll come across in-store coupons and promotions and feel like they are getting some special value. The second point is to really use Google Plus and Bing Local to your advantage. There's really no excuse not to do this. It's free, it's easy, but if a customer is in-store and they are searching for reviews about your business, remember the first thing they're doing is searching for price comparisons, but the second thing research shows what they're doing is getting information about your business while they're actually in your business. So you want to make sure that your profile is updated. You've got great pictures. You've encouraged customers to submit reviews. You've got in-store coupons. Again, you can add those to Bing Local and Google Plus. But that's really something you should always be updating because it's so easy to do. The third point is use paid search to geo-target your customers and to bid up on mobile devices. It's really not going to cost you really that much more money in terms of your budgeting, but you really want to use Google Enhanced campaigns to target mobile device users within a specific radius of your store. If that's your objective, is to increase your local visibility and actually encourage people to access you on their mobile device and drive them in store. But you know, make good use of Google Enhanced campaigns because of those targeting capabilities. It's really pretty sophisticated and a great way to bring in local traffic at slight incremental costs. The fourth point is make your showroom floor device friendly. Again, you don't hear too much about QR codes. They've kind of evolved, but you may want to allow price comparisons and make that easy. You can embed that in your QR codes, or if you want, if you've got a product with a tag on it that you don't feel you may be price competitive on, send them to a review on the product on your site. Make that easily accessible, make it very obvious for them to access it, but allow them to scan away with their devices and access information on your site. Again, it depends on what vertical you're in, whether you want to actively engage a customer on a price point basis or provide them with information to maybe steer them away from that. It depends on your own margin requirements. Another thing you can do is offer a Wi-Fi hotspot in your store. Named after your store or business, obviously it would have to be a non-secure one. But that gets your store name registered on their device, and if their devices save the network name, it stays on their phone, stays on their smartphone. Kind of a nice way of keeping your name in front of the consumer. This is something that our parent company, US Mattress, did in one of their new stores, which is a great idea. We've got a large screen TV tied to the website in the front of the store to I wouldn't say distract, might not be the right word, but to really engage customers on the website and control that consumer experience a little bit more. So if they feel like they have to be on a device, make it easy for them to access like an iPad attached to a large screen so they can browse through your website. You may want to allow them to go to other sites, maybe not. That just kind of depends, again, on your model, but rather than have them peering around into a tiny screen, put a large screen up there and make it easy. So the other point seven is offer price matching where you can, but within reason. There are a lot of other value propositions you can give to the customer, like financing. In our industry, we have an average order value that's a couple thousand dollars. That's a big deal. So we don't always have to match on price. We can offer other options like financing. Another aspect is expertise. You don't want to give it away. That's something that you've built up in your business. If someone's walking around with a device and they're comparing prices between you and Target and Amazon, and they're asking you all these questions, well, tell them they're welcome to get the answers. If they buy the product from you, or they can continue to shop online, but that expertise is worth something. Another thing you can do is create grouped products. Again, this is something that is prevalent in the furniture industry, where we've got like a table and chair set or a dining room suit or bedroom suit, where we've got products all grouped together. That makes a direct one-to-one price comparison a little more difficult. It also lets us add more value or offer more value to the customer, because we can be much more competitive on a $4,000 bedroom suit than we can on a single chair because of shipping costs and other factors. So it lets you offer more value and avoids that one-on-one comparison where you are not going to win that game. The other thing you can do is add, again, this is in our case, add accessories or other items to the package to drive up that perceived value and make a direct comparison a little more difficult. The ninth point is stay locally relevant. Display your local credentials, your Better Business Bureau rating, your participation in charities, your time in business, showing that you are a good community supporter and community partner. You know, that does add to the feel-good aspect of a purchase, and I think we all recognize that that is important, that we don't want to have just chain stores dominating our main street. Having smaller operations is important to people. 10 is internal. It's breaking down compartmental thinking in your sales organization. This is pretty basic and a little, you know, but we need to think of customers just in terms of their needs and expectations, not where they originated from. We don't distinguish at Carolina Rustica when somebody walks in the store. We have a very open area where we're on the phone, we're helping floor customers. For us, it's all the same. It's the customer. Number 11, don't be stingy. Let customers know about different promotions, regardless of the source or target channel. So if a customer is in the store and they're looking at a clearance item and you have a mobile-only in-store coupon, share it with them, especially if you're motivated to move the product off your floor. But that will the customer will certainly appreciate it, but it also will keep your site in mind when that customer is thinking about their next purchase. But it also it adds value to the whole experience for the customer because you're showing them something that they might not have had otherwise. Along with the aligning your sales organization, you need to make sure that your customer service recognizes all facets of the operation as one brand, and that's kind of easier said than done. That gets into a lot of organizational issues, but it's breaking down silos, breaking down your distinctions between channels, keeping your policies the same, whether it's a return policy, a cancellation policy, making sure that it's uniform across channels as far as how the customer is treated after the purchase. In-store expertise, number 13, making sure your sales associates understand the competition. That's also really important. Understanding that you know, we've got online competitors, we've got chain store competitors, we've got local mom-and-pop competitors in other parts of the country doing the same thing that we are, that it's not restricted to channel or to device, that our competitors are as prevalent on all of those as we would expect. The last point is educating staff to understand not only the advantages of buying local, but also the follow-up and the problem handling, particularly in our industry. Product follow-up is extremely important, particularly on delivery and post-purchase issues. It can go on for a very long time. So you want to assure the customer that you're going to be, you know, you as a brick-and-mortar retailer are going to be there for them, and you're local, and that's really important. So just a couple of final words. It's really important keeping perspective. I mean, this is, in the time that I've been doing it, this is the most turbulent I've ever seen it. That also gives us great opportunities. You know, never before have channels kind of been breaking down as rapidly as they are now. It's across all industries. Mobile use in stores is certainly not category specific. It's like I said, it's a natural outgrowth of consumer behavior. And there's equal opportunities for web rooming and showrooming. You just have to remember that and remember the specific practices for each one. And there's as much opportunity to bring shoppers into your store through your online presence as there are with challenges with in-store smartphone use. But it can certainly become your secret weapon. It's, like I said, it's part of a much larger trend. So we as retailers just need to rise to that challenge. And now I will pass it back.
Great. Well, thanks, Richard. We have some time here for some questions from the audience. Just want to remind you that you can submit your questions to Richard using the Q&A box on your console. So we have a couple questions in here to get started. First one I have is, does Carolina Rustica have any way of kind of tracking customers who buy in-store, if they've been to your website? Do you ever ask customers that, or any thoughts around, you know, identifying those customers who bought in-store that may have come to your website first?
That's a great question. We try to incentivize them with coupons, although we don't want to use them excessively. A lot of times the customers will do it for us by bringing in a printout of the website, because if it's a product with a lot of options, they might print it out because they have questions. We try and make it easy to print out the page. But it's not as scientific as we would like. We will ask them, but we won't badger them. The important thing is that they're in the store. So we try and coax it out of them if we can, but there's not a specific process in place. We know that, particularly on the mattress side, because U.S. Mattress, we've got the mattress gallery in the store. U.S. Mattress has such an impressive online presence. We know that a lot of them are being driven into the store from the website, which lets them know that there's a store local to them. But there's a little bit of finesse to it.
Okay. Next question I have here is in regards to, since the phenomenon of showrooming has come into, to be a factor in the retail industry, how has that affected your marketing budget? Have you, for example, have you invested more into mobile marketing, rearranged some of your spend in other areas? Can you talk about the effect that showrooming has had on marketing?
Yeah, absolutely. Another good question. In terms of the budgeting, the mobile campaigns are, we'd like to put more money into them. They're really, the incremental spend is not that significant. So we've got such a highly targeted product that there's only going to be so many people looking for it, for the brand names, which is how we do most of our marketing, is by brand. So yes, it has affected our budget. We have shifted more to mobile and tablets, but I would like to spend more because it is extremely targeted traffic. In terms of how we allocate that budget, or in terms of the marketing efforts, we are always trying to shift away from commodity products, commodity brands that you would find everywhere. So, absolutely, showrooming has affected our product mix. We have a little bit of insulation by being a high-end retailer, in that there's certain qualifications you have to meet in order to have access to some of the lines. So we're a little bit insulated there. But yes, absolutely, we're trying to move away from the commodity products and get into more complex products with higher margins and that are more difficult to just price shop because of availability.
Okay. Next question we have here from an attendee. Does participating in sites like Groupon and Living Social help use showrooming to your advantage, or do you see them as more of a threat to your business?
I see them as almost passe right now. We participated in a few of those, the value offer there is, I think it's kind of diminished over time. You see less and less real quality value, quality offerings on the deal of the day sites, because so many people are doing them, and a lot of people have done them have not had real favorable financial results. I'm speaking in terms of our experience, because we did participate in a few. So I don't really see them as a threat per se, because certainly I don't see our competitors participating in them much either. So I'm not sure it's run its course, but certainly it's not something that we worry too much about right now.
Okay, great. Well, we're just about out of time for this session. I want to make note that Richard will be moving over to the networking lounge when we're finished up here, and he'll be able to address some of your questions there if you didn't get a chance to ask your question or have it answered. So at this time, on behalf of Retail Online Integration and Symantec, I want to thank you again for attending this session. If you're interested in discussing anything that you heard during this presentation, we encourage you to visit the networking lounge to chat live with other session attendees. Please also visit the info booth and fill out our show survey to let us know about your experience today. Finally, if you've missed anything today, remember that the entire virtual show will be archived. The on-demand environment will be available for 3 months starting this coming Monday. Thanks, everyone, and have a great day.